from KQED.
This is the California Report podcast. Good morning. I'm Michelle Wiley in San Francisco.
And I'm John Sepulveda in Los Angeles. And this is President Trump from the Oval Office last night.
A young police officer in California was savagely murdered in cold blood by an illegal alien who just came across the border.
That was President Trump making his pitch for increased border security, including a border wall. Let no mistake be made. This government shutdown is about that proposed border wall. President Trump wants it, and Democrats do not. In fact, last night, President Donald Trump blamed the entire governmental shutdown, which is entering its third week, on Democrats led by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi of San Francisco.
The federal government remains shut down for one reason and one reason only, because Democrats will not fund border security.
Speaker Pelosi spoke immediately after the president. In a televised address following Trump's appearance in the Oval Office, Pelosi said Democrats do support securing the border.
The fact is, the women and children at the border are not a security threat. They are a humanitarian challenge, a challenge that President Trump's own cruel and counterproductive policies have only deepened.
Pelosi noted that President Trump long promised that Mexico would pay for a border wall. She said Democrats are in favor of tighter border security.
So here's a question. Would a border wall actually work? KQED's Frida Jabalo-Romero got reaction on that from two immigration experts in California.
Law professor John Eastman at Chapman University says the murders cited by the president could have been prevented.
Those are still crimes that ought not to be committed because the people ought not to be here.
Building a wall, he says, would be a step in the right direction.
It just is common sense that it's harder to illegally cross the border when there's a physical barrier in your way.
Most people arrested trying to cross the border illegally don't have any prior criminal convictions. And increasingly, illegal border crossers are families and unaccompanied minors from Central America who say they're escaping violence.
Building a wall will not stop people if they are desperate, if they are fleeing persecution.
Bill Hing, a law professor at the University of San Francisco, says the president emphasized the murders to scare Americans into backing a wall to keep Latino immigrants out.
To me, that's the equivalent of hate mongering and basically engaging in racism.
He says immigrants, including undocumented ones, commit crimes at a lower rate than people born in the U.S. For the California Report, I'm Farida Jabalo-Romero.
Meanwhile, President Trump tweeted out policy threats to California this morning, threatening to withhold FEMA funds for fire survivors.
It should be noted, Michelle, this is not the first time the president has threatened California. In fact, this is one of those sad but true facts. We try to get an idea of how many times this has happened, so we turn to our little Google machine. We began to type in Trump threatens into Google, and it immediately autofills to Trump threatens California. That should give everyone an idea of how often this has happened during the president's term, including this threat. It seems that he's threatening the town of Paradise, which is trying to recover from that, you know, huge, fatal, horrible fire late last year.
Well, John, since we're talking about the town of Paradise, the California Report has learned that the Environmental Protection Agency has found a small amount of nuclear waste there. This was as they were removing hazardous materials in the town of Paradise. And, you know, the EPA goes into sites to remove everyday products after a fire because they're made really dangerous, like batteries, cleaners, pesticides. Here's Incident Commander Peter Gurria.
Well, we don't know exactly what it was. You know, we've all speculated, for those of us that have been doing this kind of work for quite a long time. But it was a small amount of material in Paradise. It was a possible old World War II relic of some sort.
The nuclear material has been transported to Utah for safe disposal. And I did hear that overall hazardous waste cleanup at sites impacted by the campfire is about halfway done.
Well, let's stay on the nuclear waste beat because, hey, it's 2019. Southern California Edison wants to resume burying nuclear waste this month at the San Onofre nuclear power plant that is being decommissioned. But as new details emerge about a near-miss accident at the plant north of San Diego last summer, a growing number of people are saying, no, thank you. Well, actually, they're saying no way. Actually, they're saying we don't want it. Here's Allison St. John of KPBS.
The former head of the Navy in San Diego, retired Admiral Len Herring, is one of the voices sounding the alarm about the way Southern California Edison is going about storing spent nuclear fuel at San Onofre on site 100 feet from the ocean.
I'm an advocate for nuclear energy. I'm not a believer that it needs to disappear. But the proper handling of the material is what we are talking about here. The decommissioning of the plant involves the handling and the storage of nuclear waste in a fashion that is, for all practical purposes, not being done safely for us.
In his lab at UCSD, physicist Subrata Chakraborty says he also supports nuclear energy. But after Southern California Edison had a near-miss accident last August while moving radioactive spent fuel, he agreed to volunteer his time and research potential problems with how the material was being handled. He studied how the canisters, each loaded with over 50 tons of spent fuel, risk being scratched as they're loaded into concrete storage bunkers.
Because these cylinders are not that thick. This is only 5/8 inch thick. So this is potentially a big issue.
At a community engagement meeting, San Onofre's chief nuclear officer, Edison's Tom Palmisano, said any scratches would be too shallow to be a problem in the short term.
Quite frankly, we don't have a short-term concern with that. It becomes a long-term aging management concern.
But Chakraborty's worried about the long term. He says the scratches could lead to corrosion cracking and that there's no guarantee the waste will be moved within the next few decades.
The problem is right now, the bottom of this cylinder is 18 inches above the mean sea level. And now after 50 years, when the sea level rises, it is no longer a dry storage. It will be a wet storage. And we should do better than this.
Retired Admiral Herring is calling for a halt to burying the remaining 44 canisters of spent nuclear fuel on site in an area that's prone to earthquakes and surrounded by millions of people. Holtec International, the company that designed the storage system, says it's earthquake-proof. Herring remains skeptical.
We need to stop, take a break, go back to square one, force the individuals to do the right study and with the right solution so that it does not put San Diego at risk.
The Nuclear Regulatory Commission says it will not give Southern California Edison the go-ahead to resume burying the waste until after holding a public conference, probably in the next few weeks. For the California Report, I'm Allison St. John in San Diego.
Well, as we bring our podcast to a close, we have three notes for you, gentle listener. The first is about Montecito. It has been a year since the Montecito mudslide. The California Report was on the scene immediately after that pre-dawn debris flow. We heard incredible stories of survival, including the story of a young 2-year-old who was swept more than a quarter mile away from his home. He was whimpering through the mud when he was heard by a neighbor who was racing to escape mud headed to their own house. The neighbor stopped, dug him out of the mud, and saved this young boy's life. It was one of the most incredible stories we heard in 2018, and we remember it as well as the 23 people who were not so lucky and were killed by the debris flow on this, the one-year mark after that destructive morning.
Our second note is about policy. We're expecting the state budget to come out tomorrow, and we'll bring you complete coverage of what it means for health, education, and social services.
And our third note is that here in Los Angeles, we are waiting to hear what school teachers will do next. That's because on Thursday, they are scheduled to strike if they do not reach a deal with LA Unified. Teachers want smaller class sizes and higher pay. LA Unified officials say that would bankrupt the system. Both sides rejected a last-minute pitch from Mayor Eric Garcetti to keep the teachers at work. Michelle, have you ever had teachers walk off the job? Have you ever had a teacher strike? I mean, I think of my time growing up, and these kinds of things just didn't happen, it seems like.
I never experienced a teacher strike until I was in college. I don't think. And maybe once. Yeah, not frequent.
Did your behavior ever cause your teachers to want to run out of the room?
You know, my mother would tell you some stories, but they're all lies.
I'm sure they're all lies. I used to get in so much trouble. There was an algebra teacher in middle school, and just to show you how much times have changed since then, I used to get in so much trouble for back-talking, horse-playing.
What?
I was actually voted, this is a true story, I was voted middle school class clown. And during this time, when my peak class clown years, if you will, there was one teacher, an algebra teacher, and again, to show you what a different time it was, Anyone who misbehaved in her class, she would give you the kiss of death.
Kiss of death. What is that?
Oh, funny you should ask. The kiss of death. This algebra teacher considered herself to be very ugly. Like, I'm just saying this as I found it to be true then. She would say this. She would tell everyone how ugly she was. She would show the kids her hairpiece. She had this hairpiece she would take on and off to, like, freak us out. And I think most of the kids agreed with her that she was a very homely individual. And I, of course, have no comment on that. And one of the things she would do to embarrass the maladjusted kids in her class is she would sneak up behind them and plant a big fat kiss on their lips in front of everyone. And the idea was is that the student was so mortified that they died. So it was essentially the kiss of death.
That story is troubling in so many different ways.
I know, but it happened to me twice. Could you imagine living through that?
How have you survived
this long? My reputation. I don't know.
How did you get to this position you're in?
Cornflakes. Lots and lots of cornflakes.
Raisin Bran. The power makers.
Anyways, we better stop before I get sued. This is the California Report podcast for this, the 9th of January. I'm John Sepulvedo in Los Angeles.
And I'm Michelle Wiley in San Francisco. We hope you have a great day.
Support for the California Report comes from Collective Health. American employers are in the healthcare business. It's time they had the technology to drive it. CollectiveHealth.com. Paint Care. Through Paint Care, paint manufacturers make it easier for households and businesses to recycle leftover house paint with over 800 convenient drop-off locations around California. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.